friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95BFM.
Morena, Celine. It feels like a long time since I've seen you in person, so welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It does feel like an endless time.
An endless time. It does feel like an endless time for a lot of renters out there. We've been getting some pretty full noise texts, which also, if that is you and you want to text a question through, 5395 is the number. We'll try our best to answer as many as we can this morning. A lot of flats, mouldy flats, flooded flats going on here, and people still trying to work out what their rights are in that situation. The first one we've got here is from somebody who says, "Hey, I have a massive square of mould on my wall in my flat after the floods, which I am aware is bad. What can I do about this? Would love to just move out, but I don't really have any other options. What should I be telling my landlord?"
Yeah, okay. It's truly all so grim at the moment. Okay, so in terms of the mould, basically, if there's an environmental event, the landlord is responsible for all of this damage. So that's part of the risk you take on as a landlord. Making money in this way, you need to get the property back to how it was, because that's
your job.
So keep that in mind. And often mold is a tricky one in general, because it's kind of framed often as this thing that it's like the tenant's responsibility to like keep all the windows and doors open all year, and the landlord's responsibility to like provide the house,
single glaze the windows and use jib from the 90s.
Exactly. So not saying this is a positive thing, but it's potentially clearer if the response, if the mold has come as a result of the flood. It's not good health-wise, but I think you have like a distinct ability to prove that it's that, and they have to do something about it.
So what do you recommend as a method for hitting your landlord up about that?
I think the main thing to do really with all of this is just have lots of evidence. So like take lots of photos, show what's happening. And I would contact them basically straight away, because that's part of your responsibility too as a tenant.
Yeah, totally.
To be like, we flooded, this has happened, we've had this mold as a result of that, and we need to get that sorted out, and that's your responsibility. But I would just start a dialogue with them with like evidence of that, and start in good faith, and then hopefully you can start with that point and it's something that's cleaned up and dealt with, and that's part of a response to the environmental event, and they're meant to sort it out. And if they don't, you could try a notice to remedy. You could kind of push them into action that way. Otherwise, I feel like they've really, tenancy services have a lot of people on board at the moment, because they know they're really having to explain everyone's specific circumstances. So I would also potentially call someone there or follow up kind of in that dispute area if they're not doing something about it, because you shouldn't be dealing with that.
No, of course
not.
That's
not habitable.
Also, a good thing probably to remember is a paper trail. So it might be one thing to have a chat about it with your landlord on the phone, but then maybe send a follow-up email covering off everything you talked about on the phone. So that you have got actually a record of when you talked about it, what you asked for, and how it was responded to.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say at the moment, if you go into stuff in good faith, there'll be a lot of people who will be feeling stressed about this and trying to get their properties back to a habitable state, but we also know that's not going to be everyone. So I would just collect all the evidence you have, and that, basically, if you can show how they reacted to all of that, that you did what was in your rights, then that's really good to have on hand if it ends up escalating in some way, or you want it as proof of something at a later date.
This kind of dovetails into our next one. What have we got here, Zoe?
Yeah, this person says, "My landlord asked us to rip up the carpet in our flat and said he would pay us. 2 weeks later and he still hasn't. Plus, he's ignoring our emails about it. What should we do?"
I'll ignore the email. So in terms of, again, really just reiterating that it's their responsibility, it's not the tenant's responsibility. So I think at the time, especially if you're in your home and you have wet carpet, and we talked about it last time, you're trying to get rid of it. You want to get it out of there.
Hard to get contractors understand coming to some sort of agreement like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't... again, just keep a record of all of that and all of that communication. But I would try and do that notice to remedy. So just whether that's really trying to spur them into continuing action of drying the property, or if there's unfinished stuff that they're supposed to do, or if you're really just looking for a reimbursement. That can be slightly trickier, because there's situations in which you're meant to get them to get a contractor, but then there is that thing around if it's health and safety, you can act and then they can have to deal with that later. So I'm sure you're within your rights to do so. I would really just follow up with a notice to remedy to try and alert them into some attention. And then I would call tenancy services and see how you follow that up. But I would follow that up. And
yeah, totally.
Tenancy services are really, also the tribunal will be getting a lot of kind of applications at the moment. I mean, you can easily follow it up, and I'm sure the support will be on your side in that scenario.
Yeah, totally. Another, I guess, this is not a listener question, but I imagine a few people might be in this situation. If you are asked by your landlord to do something like rip up your carpet and you don't want to do that, you don't want to come to some sort of agreement where you're going to get reimbursed, do you have to do that?
I'm sure you don't have to, because I would, again, call tenancy services and get exactly what they're saying kind of to everyone at the moment. But it isn't your responsibility as a tenant when it's their property. Excuse me. I'm getting very emotional. It's not your responsibility as a tenant. It's their responsibility. So maybe just look up. The tenancy services have a lot of resources now about environmental events. It's not a natural disaster anyway. That's my own bugbear.
Climate change.
But I would just make sure you know you have that kind of information at your fingertips, which is very much not your responsibility. They need to clean up post the event, and just maybe use the lingo to them, or otherwise just be a bit stauncher and you can, you've got that backing.
Totally.
Sure.
We've got one here that says, Morena BFM, my friend was told by her landlord she had to move out in a week due to civil defence law. Turns out that's some illegal nonsense. Can she report that behaviour anywhere? Also, any suggestions about how to get out of that contract on her own terms?
Okay, is a tricky one because I don't totally know what this... I don't know what they're saying in terms of civil defence, but basically a lot of what's happening at the moment is if the property is destroyed or really damaged, there it kind of is a lot easier to get out of these agreements. So for a landlord, they can give 7-day notice in some circumstances, and a tenant can give 2-day notice.
What would those circumstances have to look like?
Well, again, it's...
How long's a piece of string?
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky, so I think worth looking... There's kind of a big document on tenancy services, but most of it is to do with the fact that it depends on the damage. So if you have a damaged property, then you should be getting reduced rent. So again, in a negotiation, but you should be getting reduced rent. To a certain degree, if it's uninhabitable, of course you can leave, and either party, landlord or tenant, can give notice to end that easily. But then all the grey areas kind of... Does the tenant still want to live there and have the repairs done? Is it partially damaged? Is it damaged enough to be uninhabitable? So both party can kind of think that it's damaged enough to want to end that lease. So it's slightly tricky. So there's a bit of negotiation there. So I would really just be communicating and asking tenancy services what your real rights are. But if your landlord wants to end your tenancy agreement and you want to still stay there, just collect as much evidence as possible, and I would be prepared to kind of have some kind of negotiation about that.
Yeah, totally.
Which might be that we can stay, but we need reduced rent and we need this. And once you have that conversation, you kind of just need to have a conversation to make sure you're on the same page. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of even more complicated, different wants and needs for landlords and tenants at this current time, depending on what their response is to this, what that event means about that property. So
yeah.
it's a tricky one, but you have support. So I would just collect your evidence, argue your case, and follow the disputes resolution stuff, or take it to the tribunal if you need to.
Speaking of support, we've just had a text come in from someone who said landlords will be claiming insurance on carpet. Check and then rip it all out. All you need is a sample for insurance. I just did this. So obviously communicating with your landlord is important there, but yeah, they should have insurance. It's part of being a landlord as well. So, you know, it's not on you as the tenant to be fixing that problem for them.
Absolutely. And if claims and insurance take a long time, like, that is their issue, that's not your issue. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of that. They need to make your home habitable soon. So
Heart out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Celine.
No problem.
As always, for anyone who wants more information or more useful links, we've got a bunch that will stick in the podcast after the show. Of course, there's Tenancy Services, which is the government's website, but there's also Tenants Protection Association, Aratohu, and the CAB as well. If you want a bit of legal advice, we'll put links to all of those things in our show podcast. You can go find them and use them. They're there for you to use. Solidarity forever. Thank you, Celine.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.